say. If you afraid, then you come along with me. And I know what you came here to do. Knock, let me see you get loose.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Week 7 of the NFL kicks off tonight with an NFC West showdown. Two teams that are still to come on the Cleveland Browns schedule as the Seattle Seahawks travel to my home, San Francisco, to take on Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers. Colin Kaepernick, by the way, going with kind of that Ed Reed hairdo lately. Have you noticed that?
That, like, dirty fro?
I don't know what it's like, just getting big. It's kind of not shaped. It's just kind of out there.
Yeah. It can happen from time to time in a football season. Weeks would go by without shaving for me when I've got to put a helmet on to go do what I do.
Yes, you do. You can at least hide. You can hide that beard unless you're Eric Weddle or somebody with a beard of that
magnitude.
This is
true. And maybe his hair is a direct reflection of his play. A little reckless.
A little bit reckless. All right. We have a big show for you today as it is the start of week 7. In the NFL, can't believe it's already week 7. We are going to go through the Browns offense and the Rams offense. We're going to go through the Browns defense and the Rams defense. And in lieu of that, not in lieu of that, but because of that, we're going to buttress it, SAT word, with interviews with the offensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, John DeFilippo, and the defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, Jim O'Neill. Our Ohio Business Machine hot topic of the day is what matchup, what one matchup must the Browns win if they are going to win on Sunday? The Browns now 6-point underdogs on the road against the St. Louis Rams. We're also going to hear from Howard Balzer, one of the OGs in the sports talk game, from the Sports Exchange Talk, stlouis.com, to preview the Browns and the Rams. He's in his 39th year covering the National Football League. We'll hear from him at 2:30. Plus, as always, we want to get your calls and your tweets, 216-578-0850. And, of course, you can tweet the show at Nathan Zagura, at Matt Wilhelm 35, and at Browns underscore daily. Before we get into some Browns stuff, I thought that there would be some interesting things that you and I could talk about. In terms of the Seattle Seahawks, since they're playing tonight, we can talk about them in a second. And also, Tom Brady saying today that he wants to play 10 more years. He is currently 38, and I can tell you after watching Peyton Manning fall off the cliff, you gotta wonder, is that even possible?
Well, it'd be the first of its kind, and I don't believe 10 years is possible, and I think at this point right now, his mind could possibly play 10 more years, and his psyche, with the standing that his body is in right now, could potentially, you know, propel him to thinking he can play 10 years, but thinking you can play 10 years to the age of 48 and actually making it, if I had to put a number on it, I would say 4 more years and a fifth would be the high for him to play.
That's what the kid said, 4 more years.
Yeah, 4 more years.
As a Michigan man, you could see that. All right, so there's an interesting article at BleacherReport.com that I read today from Mike Tanner, the NFL national lead writer, Bleacher Report, called "Stubborn Seahawks Need to Change, Not Tune Out the Quote-Unquote Haters," and basically saying that it is a systemic arrogance that has permeated them that has caused their downfall, and that is they still believe that they're the best. They have stubbornness, and it's a failure. That stubbornness leads to a failure of internal quality and control, that arrogance. That's why they have struggled so much this season.
I believe that.
What do you think about that? And in your time, because you only played on winning organizations, did you guys ever get to a point in San Diego where you thought, hey, we're just going to win because that's what we're going to do?
It becomes a part of who you are, but it's never what you hang your hat on. Because, you know, as I continually mention, you know, going 14-2, you only lose twice. But every time it happens, you fall off that pedestal, and it seems like it's a farther fall and a harder climb. So we lost early at Baltimore, and I think we lost, then ran off maybe 5 or 6 in a row, then lost, I believe, at Kansas City to go, and then ran off, you know, 5 or 6 to end the year, have the number one seed. I don't remember, and I always talk about this in referencing the Browns, when you're winning, people get paid. You know, and it's very hard to find a professional athlete, a CEO, you know, a wealthy individual who does not love themselves very much and love their standing in the community and how people look at them. That's why in some cases, you know, Tiger Woods falling off his pedestal and finding out who he really is was so shocking. You know, in situations like that, when you find out behind closed doors who they really are. So you look up to him as a great golfer, super successful, this big Nike contract, and I love wearing, you know, his shoes and his this and his that. But behind closed doors, he's a scumbag, you know. And
they are the best golf shoes, though.
They are. They are. The Freeze. I think in some cases, that's what's kind of happened when winning becomes the norm, making the playoffs becomes the norm, making millions of dollars becomes the norm, and a conversation that you're having. When you're having a conversation, and I remember these conversations with, like, with Sean Merriman wanting to get a second deal, with, you know, everybody with through our success in San Diego wanting to get that second deal and get paid and get broke off, and you're comparing other guys that you think you're the equivalent to around the league and what they're making and what you need to do to go get it and the conversations you're having with your agent and all that kind of stuff. I didn't talk about anything in that little rant right there about winning a football game.
No.
Or it was all about me, my money, and having conversations about money and what I'm doing with my side businesses and investing my money and so on and so forth. But you deviate from exactly what got you to this point, which is being a good person and a good football player and essentially earning that money. And I think what it's become, I think they can, it's, and I had it at Ohio State. Roll your helmet out there. We're playing, what is it, QS Field still?
Where they play?
Where they play?
Quest.
Quest, okay. Roll your helmet out at Quest Stadium with the 12th man. Everybody's going to lay down. We're the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And I can see it. You know, the Domino's commercials with Richard Sherman. You know, the arrogance and the attacking that he goes at players throughout the week about who's the better corner. This receiver can't get open. That whole Crabtree thing. I just think, and the fact that their leader, Pete Carroll, lets these guys get away with it, and I think he's kind of lost a grip on the personalities because everybody's gotten paid. Nobody's hungry anymore.
And it's also, there's a part that he talks about it, is kind of this culture of arrogance where you're like, we are elite. We're the best defense in the NFL. We're the best this in the NFL. We can do this. This is how good we are. But those are last year's rankings. Those don't carry over in the NFL. And what it's saying is teams identifying weaknesses in what they do, that's what carries over, and teams are finding ways to exploit it and take advantage of the Seattle team.
And I always felt this way about offense, and even when Colin Kaepernick, you know, had, what was it? It was his rookie year or second year when he went off as the runner with the zone read, and they made that run.
That was basically, it was his second year in the NFL, his first year of starting, when he ran
against
Green Bay.
Exactly, ran against Green Bay in the playoffs and so on and so forth. And I kind of... You'll get away with that, but only for so long, because the quality of coaches, at least on the defensive level in the National Football League, is unheralded, because you give these guys time, and if they're hungry enough and they know they see you again, or they know that they're going to see that out of a team that they play in the upcoming season, they will spend endless hours away from their family in the offseason to fix that, to eradicate that problem so it becomes a non-issue. And then once you figure it out, it's a copycat league. Everybody else then starts to take little pieces of whoever figured it out, and it becomes your game plan to defeat the Seattle Seahawks.
Yes, and it's funny, he says, and this is just an interesting quote, "The Seahawks are showing the telltale signs of an institutionalized arrogance that rots away the core of great teams as surely as the salary cap and free agency conspire to sap talent, and teams like the Falcons siphon away quality coaches. Arrogance is a fighting word. How about stubbornness? This was a team, let's not forget, that once elevated Russell Wilson over Matt Flynn and gave starting opportunities to a bunch of late-round nobodies like Richard Sherman, installed an option-happy offense, and rode the gadget all the way to the Super Bowl. The team that tried all the new ideas 3 years ago now acts and talks like it has all of the right answers." I think that that is so interesting how quickly it can change. It says, you look at what's wrong with this team, the biggest issue is their offensive line. They traded away their offensive lineman. They let another offensive lineman leave as a free agent and ignored the offensive line until the fourth round of the draft. And then, of course, they just brought in Jimmy Graham, and they're getting sacked all over the place. They've gotten more sacks against than anybody.
But, and I mean, I'll let you continue the article in a minute, but I would like to say this about the Seattle Seahawks. Because they are so talented, and because everyone or a majority of the guys that have gotten paid deserve to get paid what they're making, that if Pete Carroll reels that in, as well as some of the leaders on that team reel it in, the Seattle Seahawks are a team that could start 2-4. Is that where they're sitting right now, 2-4? That could run off 5 in a row and get to 7-4 in a heartbeat.
They've got to do that right now.
I'm just saying
right
that's
now.
One of the teams that I could see easily doing that by getting a healthy Marshawn Lynch, you know, a rejuvenated Russell Wilson. You fix some of the inadequacies along the offensive line. You get Jimmy Graham involved, and the defense starts playing as a unit for four quarters again. That's the scary Seattle Seahawks that they've been for the last 3 years.
It's interesting. We'll see if they can do it tonight again. Hopefully they aren't doing it when the Browns come to town in December.
No, lay down for us, will you?
Go ahead. Lay right on down. But we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see tonight what they are able to do against the San Francisco 49ers. They are 7-point road favorites in that game. So clearly Vegas thinks that they are going to have their way with the San Francisco 49ers. We're going to hear again from offensive coordinator John DeFilippo, defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill today. We want to hear from you, though, 216-578-0850 on the matchup the Browns have to win this Sunday. And I'm just going to come out with it. I think this is very easy. They have to stop Todd Gurley. They have got to contain Todd Gurley. They're not going to stop him. So what does that mean? You have got to put yourselves after first and second down. You've got to get them in at least one or two third and longs a possession so that you can get off the field. The Browns are doing a good job of getting off the field, but you've got to put them in those situations, and you can't give up that chunk run. We went through that exercise yesterday. On his chunk runs, he's got 5 runs, Gurley does, that were what, for like 180 yards or something crazy like that? I think it was even more than that. And then he's got, on the other side of things, he's got his other carries have gone for just about 2 yards a carry.
Yeah, 2.5 yards a carry.
So it's a matter of keeping him in check and not allowing those big runs. And if they can do that, they have a chance. If they can't do that, they have literally zero chance to win this game, because this team, he's got 5 carries for 180 yards, right on the money. His other 50 carries have gone for 136 yards. This team right now, you know, against that defensive front, which can get after the quarterback, as we well know, they can't come from behind in this game. They've got to play good defense. They've got to generate field position with their defense and their special teams, because I think it's going to be a grind against this Rams defense coming off of their bye week. Going against, you got Chris Long. Robert Quinn's already got 4 sacks. You got Aaron Donald's got 3.5 in the middle. You got Brockers. You got Eugene Sims. They're back. Nick Fairley is a backup for this team.
And the what? Third overall pick?
Yeah. They're just a few years ago. Phenomenal team, and you've got to be really, really on your phenomenal defensive front. You've really got to be on your game against this team.
And I'm going to continue to expound on that. And to me, what is going to be paramount for the Cleveland Browns defensively is winning first down.
Yep.
Winning first down. And the reason why I say that is put the St. Louis Rams in 2nd and 7+, not in 2nd and 5+, because I believe, you know, Nick Foles with adequate weapons and Gurley still behind him, putting them in 2nd and 5 or 2nd and 4 after, you know, a 5-yard run, a 6-yard run on first down, that's easy. I could call the plays. You take your shot. You know, you go intermediate. You take a shot down the field here and there. Maybe you run a screen to Gurley out of the back. You can tinker with who you are offensively and skew some of your numbers in 2nd and 4. In 2nd and 7, you got to be a little bit. You really just want to go get 4 more yards to put yourself in a 3rd and 3. And if we can get that second down stop at 2nd and 7, the Cleveland Browns have been very good, as you've mentioned, getting off the field on 3rd down. We will win 70% of the 3rd and 7+. That's our stronghold.
That's
so
the goal.
Can we contain them on first down? And if I were the St. Louis Rams, the numbers were a little just slightly skewed because of some of the 2-minute situations with Peyton Manning, but Peyton Manning in that offense led with that inside zone, zone open, zone closed on first down, and they'd get 4, 5, 6 yards and allow Peyton Manning to do what he wants and take a shot and let their offense coordinator, Gary Kubiak, do whatever they wanted on 2nd and 4 and 5. And get tricky, knowing they have Peyton Manning, a very smart quarterback, in 3rd and 2, 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5, which he's going to find a guy winning one-on-1.
Agreed, and that, you're exactly right. First down is going to be critical in this game for the Cleveland Browns, and really what it's going to be is them going up and trying to stop Todd Gurley. That is going to be the whole key to everything in this game for the Cleveland Browns from a defensive standpoint. And speaking of defense, go ahead.
Yeah, no, and I was just going to say, I'm sorry, but
don't be sorry.
The St. Louis Rams are going to do what every other team has done to you. So look at what the Raiders did to us. Look at what the Ravens did to us. Look at what the Broncos did to us. So they're going to, I wouldn't be surprised if this week, if St. Louis, from an offensive set standpoint, come out in a multiple different looks, because they know they have Gurley. And yeah, in some cases, they might be pompous and arrogant and go, we're going to line up and run the football with Gurley, and you're not going to be able to stop us. But eventually we will, and they'll have to go to something else. And unless the Browns have addressed some of their fit issues in the run game against teams that they've played in the past, they're going to get the same personnel in the same formations in the same downs and distances over with Todd Gurley over and over and over again until you fix it.
And Todd Gurley, by the way, is a much scarier running back than anyone that the Browns have faced so far this season.
He's the only home run threat we've played all year.
Right now, he's the best home run threat in the entire NFL. 216-578-0850. We want to hear from you about this game. At 1:30, it'll be Jim O'Neill. 1:45, we go through the offenses position by position and hand out the advantages. 2 o'clock, John DeFilippo. 2:15, the defenses. 2:30, Howard Balzer. Loaded show. So if you want to get in on the phones and let your opinion be heard, now is the time to do it on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.